and the guy on the line proves what a small world it is. We're going to talk some NFL and more. He's the host of the Dog Check Pod, along with one of the all-time great all-purpose players, Eric Metcalf. He's from Boston, now working in Cleveland, covering the Browns and more. His Twitter handle is at Lobes Leads. We welcome in Max Loeb. Max, how's life treating you in the land?
It has been great. Thank you so much for having me on the show, TC. I appreciate it big time. Very excited to be here, but life in the land is good. The weather's all over the place, but it's been nice the past couple of days, so I'll take it.
You know, with so much to cover, it's just funny. You know, Max has family like me in North Jersey. We're both Giants fans. But first, I got to start with the NBA. The season just started. Of course, the Celtics were bold. You know, they made some trades, departed with Marcus Smart, Robert Williams, enter Zinger, also Jrue Holiday. So how you feeling? You like the moves and their shot to win the East?
I do. I think, obviously, health is always the big thing. But I think the Celtics especially, they have an 8-to-9-man rotation where you would probably take them over any team in the NBA. I think you'd probably take them over probably 28, 29 teams pretty confidently. So if they could stay healthy, I feel great. But it's obviously a question mark. You never really know that stuff. But I like the moves. Obviously, it hurts to see a guy like Marcus Smart go. He's been the face of the franchise for 10 years. He's been pretty much there through the ups and the downs, all the good and the bad. And, you know, it was kind of what had to be done. They made the move they needed to. Then you bring in Jrue Holiday, which I think defensively, very, very similar players, but I think Jrue Holiday is a clear upgrade offensively. So I love that. I think Porzingis just playing more at a stretch four, even playing the five, and giving Al Horford a little bit of rest, letting Al's minutes be more efficient, I think is going to be huge for them. Because when Al was good and healthy and he wasn't playing 30-ish minutes a game, like, he was awesome. So I think him coming off the bench, assuming he does come off the bench, is going to be great. I love the moves they made. I'm glad they kept Derek White. I think Derek White is the next Marcus Smart. He's not as outspoken and passionate, but he plays hard. He plays really hard.
And, of course, with Porzingis, you just said it, the ultimate in if he's healthy. Got to get to our shared passion, the Giants. There were high hopes, and then they played the Cowboys, and then the injuries came, which included Saquon and Danny Dimes and Andrew Thomas. There were some duds, the 49ers, the Seahawks. Then they beat Washington last week. So what's the read here? Should we just take a deep breath and say it's year two under Dable and Joe Shane and we're building something, or just be depressed like I normally am as a New Jersey person?
Oh, I don't think we should be depressed. I think reality hit the Giants really hard when they played probably four playoff teams to start the year, which is a tough ask of anybody. But I've told this to my dad, my cousin, and anybody who's been on the Giants train last year and this year. They are currently a game and a half out of that last wild card spot, playing better defensive football than they have all year long, comparable to last year, to be honest with you, maybe even better. And five of the next six games are against teams that are either 500 or below. So wins are possible. They're on the table. And I think if they get healthier, and it sounds like they are, John Michael Smith's practiced today, Andrew Thomas practiced today, there's a real chance they win some games they should get back closer to 500. It's going to take a win in a game where they shouldn't win to push them over the edge. But I don't know. Like, I'm optimistic, but cautiously optimistic. I've loved what I've seen so far out of the young guys, too, the defense. I thought Deontay Banks has been great. I thought the addition of Bobby Okereke has been unbelievable. He's arguably been the Giants' best player outside of Dexter Lawrence. I think Thibodeau's played really well. Offensively, I mean, I love seeing Jalin Hyatt more involved. I was super, super high on Hyatt. Like, I had him graded out as a first-round pick coming out of this past year's draft, and I was jumping for joy when they drafted him in the third. But I love what they're doing with him. Just getting him on the field more, He played over 70% of snaps for the second time in a row this past week. He had season high in targets, 75 yards. Like, he's a dynamic player you have to keep on the field. And you get a guy like that to take the top off and let your Wandale Robinsons and Darren Wallers go underneath, you'll be in a good spot regardless of who's playing quarterback.
Well, I'll tell you, now I'm going to break out my Thibodeau shirt that I bought at Modell's this last August. So, talking with Max Loeb, Dog Check Podcast, huge game with Seattle Sunday. But first, being in Ohio, I'm getting the feeling the Jim Harbaugh Michigan sign-stealing mess is getting some play. I've never been a Harbaugh guy, and I'm dating back to when he was a player. I've always felt him to be a little self-righteous. So among fans you hear from there in Ohio, what's kind of the buzz in enemy territory about what's happening in Ann Arbor?
Well, I am surrounded by people who flat out hate Michigan. So I'm only hearing one thing for sure, but they're saying, you know, what he's doing is bad and all the stuff dating back to last year too. I'm sure people, and you have seen that viral video of Ohio State, when they played Ohio State last year. Like, if it's true, it's bad, and it seems to be true. As somebody who, I was a student assistant on the John Carroll football team for 4 years, and this past year I signaled our plays. As somebody who's been in those shoes and it being scouted and not being able to do anything about it is tough. But I will tell you, we as a team last year, and the past couple of years, even when I wasn't signaling, we're aware of some teams that seem to be doing it, and we actually changed a couple signals going into weeks against them to be prepared for it. You know, it's a very nitpicky process, and it's tough to look at. But, you know, it's surrounded by the Ohio State fans. They're very upset. And, I mean, rightfully so, especially like last year, if you feel it made a difference, you know, it could have affected seeding, things like that. You never know.
Well, you know, the Buckeye fans, when it comes to Michigan, will be very rational and calm about it. That's one thing.
Exactly.
great information. Let's get to Browns and Seahawks. What a zany win for Cleveland. I mean, who had those teams with backup quarterbacks scoring 77 points? P.J. Yeah. Walker kind of all over the place through an interception, ended up harmless. But what about Walker leading them 80 yards, final 2.5 minutes, with just the one timeout to win the game on that Kareem Hunt rush with just 15 seconds to go? Wow, what a finish.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. There was a pass he had, I believe it was on third down, a little hole shot between the flat defender and the safety in cover two that, like, that my co-host Eric Metcalf, I think he described it as a game-winning throw. Like, I don't know about game-winning. I'd say that's a big boy throw, though. Like, that was a big, big play. And, you know, Walker's been good the past couple weeks. I was actually at the game against the 49ers, and you could, like, there were a couple plays where he was scrambling and could have just run past the line of scrimmage and gotten a couple yards and got out of bounds or slid, but he tried to force passes in. The Niners had two dropped picks when he was doing that, in addition to the two picks they already had. So it could have been way worse. But last week he stopped doing that. He was much smarter with the football. And like you said, the pick he threw, it was essentially a punt. Like, it wasn't a huge deal.
We continue. Max Loeb, Dog Check Podcast, part of the Great Believe Network. I should point out to this crowd, by the way, Bill Musgrave is an offensive assistant, former Duck quarterback. But I want to get to the running game. Wow. Yeah. Nick Chubb lost for the season. Kareem Hunt questionable with a thigh injury. Jerome Ford injures his ankle. So, I don't know, is Peyton Hillis coming back? Is it Pierre Strong? What's the state of the running back room?
Well, I'll tell you what. Kareem Hunt and Ford both did not practice today. Ford's injury seems a lot more serious. And I think he'll probably miss a week or two. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I'd be shocked if Hunt didn't play this week. But I do think if Hunt is injured, it's not going to be the 20-touch performance that all Browns hope for. Like, when I was at his first game back, too, when he came back, it was against Tennessee. The dude entered the game, had a one-yard run, and you would have thought that they just won the Super Bowl. Like, it was insane. They love him in Cleveland. But I don't think that – it's just a little unrealistic, I think, to expect a Nick Chubb-esque workload, especially this week. So, yeah, it will be Pierre Strong. Another thing they've done – and they can't do it consistently, but Elijah Moore has gone in the backfield. And a lot of teams, they put a receiver in the backfield to get a matchup they want, but the Browns have actually handed the ball to Elijah Moore. So you never know. Maybe that'll be on the docket a little bit this week. It's an interesting Seahawks defense. It's a tough matchup. They can do a lot of good things. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how they go about it. But I would be shocked if Hunt did not play. I think Pierre Strong it would be next up if he didn't, but I'd be shocked if Hunt did not play.
As for the receiving core, obviously prior to last year, they traded for Amari Cooper with Dallas. He had a very good year, maybe the best of his career. But now just 7 catches the past 3 games. You mentioned yeah. Elijah Moore outside of he and the tight end and Joku. No one has more than 15 catches. Some concern about the productivity there. I mean, yards per catch, yards per attempt is kind of down near the bottom in the rankings.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of cause for concern. I don't know how much it is on the receivers. I think it's more on the inconsistency of the pass game. Not even like the Browns have rolled out 3 different quarterbacks this year, so it's tough to expect a lot of things. I think when Amari Cooper's been at his best this year, he's been a top 15 guy. Like he can pretty much beat any corner one-on-one, and he goes against one of the best corners in the NFL who practice in one-on-one, so it makes sense. I think a guy they have to start utilizing more is David Njoku. Like, you see whether it's screen passes, little passes in the flats, like he rarely goes down on the first tackle. He'll break a tackle, and if he gets into space, he can run like a receiver. So getting him the ball is going to be imperative. And you can line up him in the slot. You can line up Elijah Moore in the slot, and that generally shortens the distance that a guy like P.J. Walker would have to throw. It makes life easier. But honestly, if Kareem Hunt plays, he's going to need to have a big role in the pass game. The big plays against San Francisco came from, it was a toss sweep, but it was virtually a pass to Kareem Hunt. A couple screens to him and Ford. Like, getting the running backs involved in the pass game could be huge for them, too.
Couple final thoughts, Max Loeb. Dog Check Pod on the Believe Network. On to the defense. I'm happy you brought up who the receivers practice against. We know Myles Garrett is all world. But what about that secondary? Greg Newsome emerging. Obviously, the Buckeye Denzel Ward, who went fourth overall. You know, this is by far the top pass defense in the NFL. How good is that group on the back end?
It's really good. And I honestly think I'll start with the safeties because I honestly think people need to talk about Grant Delpit a little bit more. He's been all over the place in the run game, in the pass game. He's been making plays everywhere. Greg Newsome, as a sub-package guy, has been really good, but Martin Emerson has come in as the number 2 corner and has really, really solidified himself, which I was moderately surprised by. I thought Newsome was a really good player. I still think he is, but Emerson has been awesome. Awesome so far this year, and I've gotten a lot of flack for saying this on different shows. I was actually just on the Take 12 podcast, it was a Seahawks podcast, and I got a couple funny stares for saying this, but I don't think there's a corner playing better football than Denzel Ward is right now. I really don't. I think he's great in man. I think he can tackle really well. He makes plays on the football. He forces turnovers. It's hard to find other corners in the NFL who are consistently doing that. Obviously, you know, you have guys like Sauce Gardner who are very, very good, and they eliminate one side of the field. When the ball is towards their side, can they make the play? I think Denzel Ward has been making more plays. I really do think he's playing the best out of any corner in the NFL. And honestly, one of the other corners that's certainly up there with him is Witherspoon of Seattle. Like, sure. That's another guy who you're gonna watch him this Sunday. You'd be like, wow, that kid can play. I'm sure you remember in the primetime game against the Seahawks that he had a pick 6. He had a sack where the Giants motioned right away from it, and he came off the edge and crushed Daniel Jones. Like, the kid can play. The kid can move. It's going to be a fun matchup watching those 2 corners play.
I think I may have blocked that out of my mind, but thanks for bringing it up. Finally, you know, this Seahawks team, you and Eric Metcalf were talking about their strengths. Obviously, another Big Ten guy, Kenneth Walker, running it. We're not 100% sure if DK Metcalf goes, but in prepping for this game, the interviews you've heard and who you've spoken to, what about this Seattle team, like, absolutely has the Browns' attention?
I think the pass game. I just think the pass game is the area the Seahawks should exploit. I think Kenneth Walker is playing really good football. I think Christian McCaffrey is probably the only running back in the NFL playing better football than him. But I don't know how well that line can hold up against the Browns' run defense. I think outside of the opening game script against the 49ers when McCaffrey had a big run to shut him down. And then last week when they had Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor splitting carries, like, you had fresh legs coming in every game, every play. Those were the only times they've struggled. Otherwise, they've just been completely suffocated in the run game. And I see it happening again this week against an inferior offensive line. But I think the Seahawks just go so deep at receiver, the Browns are going to be in a little bit of trouble if they pass the ball 30-plus times. Like, I trust Denzel Ward against any of those receivers. It's going to be interesting to see how, if the Browns play a little bit more zone. But when you get into the depth of the Seattle receiver room, especially if DK plays, because you have DK, Lockett, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Now you have Jake Bobo, who's bursting onto the scene. Like, you have four guys you have to worry about. Can the Browns go that deep, especially if they want to play as much man coverage as they do? I don't know. That's going to be the area of exploitation for the Seahawks. That is definitely what I'm looking at on both sides of the ball, too. Not even just when the Browns deep, just the whole game. That is what I'm looking at the most.
I'll tell you what, that might actually be the best game Sunday. It's going to be a heck of a – I'll throw Cincinnati, San Francisco out there for sure. But, folks, he's Max Loeb, along with Eric Metcalf, brings you the Dog Check podcast on the Believe Network. Check out that Twitter feed. Go at Dog Check Pod. For Max, it's at Loeb Leeds, spell Loeb, L-O-E-B. He'll provide well, I think we've proven that a Boston and New York fan can get along, so shouldn't we all? Hey, Max, seriously, though, great having you. Appreciate the time. Be well, and I hope we can catch up again down the road.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you so much for having me on. Go Browns, go Giants.
All right, have a good one, man.